Yeah, just like that. There you go. Just enjoy that a little bit of musical interlude on this Aloha Monday morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Thank you very much for choosing us here on News Radio 830 KHVH. It is the Rick Amata program, 521-8383-1-888-565-8383, where it's always a free call. I hope you have a chance to join us. I want to jump right on board with our good friend Chris Coughlin, C-Square of DuffySoapbox.com. And Chris, thanks for being with us on such an auspicious day. Hello.
Hello, Rick. Always my pleasure.
Well, my friend, I'm going through some of the information, and your prescience has once again been validated. My goodness gracious. Now, did you just talk to John Boehner directly and have him craft this plan? Or
No, I'm a little surprised myself that I wrote the blog post on what a deal would look like. I wrote that on Saturday morning. And then when I tuned in last night to the news and saw what the outlines of the deal actually were, I was shocked that, with one exception, the plan I put together fit. I'm thinking that maybe the Senate and the House need to put me on retainer.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be happy to pay taxes for that, my friend. I just thought I'd let you know. let's walk this through a little bit, if you wouldn't mind. And
sure.
I hope folks will log on to DuffySoapbox.com because Chris just does an excellent job of making this digestible. So let's start with at the beginning, wherever you'd like to begin.
Well, I just think that we've gone through this process now for the last 90 days, and it really has been a difficult point to try to reconcile some very deeply ideological points from the Democrats, from the Republicans, from the Tea Party supporters. And really, we can backtrack from this point, Rick, but if you look at the result, you know, and I know there's a lot of people out there right now who are disappointed in this deal. You know, I just go and suggest that if you have a deal that's universally disappointing to everybody, it's probably a half-decent deal. But to look at where we are today, where we have $1 trillion in cuts immediately, $1.5 trillion in cuts that will be voted on before the end of the year, where the burden is going to be on the president to raise the debt ceiling in 2012, where there will be a balanced budget amendment that will be voted on in both the House and the Senate, it's very difficult to say that the Tea Party and the Republicans lost in this negotiation or that the American people didn't win.
Hmm. Wow, that's a profound statement. And your overall reaction to the sausage-making, Chris, I mean, did we just witness what the reality is of D.C. politics is all about?
Yeah, I think this is really a reverse in a way from what happened during Obamacare. And now you have the Republicans in sort of the hot seat with some ideological divides, people trying to figure out whether it was the best course of action or not, and with Tea Party supporters being very, very strong to the promises they made to their representatives, their constituents during the campaign, not willing to move. And we don't, you know, necessarily have. I did the math looking at the House of Representatives, how John Boehner can put together a coalition to win this. There are 25 Blue Dog Democrats who would be, I guess, somewhat encouraged to vote for this plan. 87 House Tea Party freshmen. 22 of those folks voted against the Boehner plan. I can't imagine they're going to like this one any better. And so you're going to lose those 22 votes.
Mm-hmm.
It would be something of a cliffhanger, looking to see how the final vote in the House goes down by how many Blue Dog Democrats jump on board to offset the loss on conservative Republicans.
I had made a comment earlier that to a certain extent, Nancy Pelosi had become irrelevant in this discussion. Is she or Stoyer or anybody going to be in a position to deliver all of these Dems for this plan?
Well, the thing is that, you know, she and the Progressive Caucus, I think it has 87 members, none of them are going to vote for this. And but Pelosi has very little control over the Blue Dogs. There are only 25 of them now. There used to be 55 of them. Mm-hmm. They suffered hardest in the 2010 race.
Mm-hmm.
And these are folks who never really were under her control to begin with, and some of whom voted against her as minority leader when the Congress took over in January. So they have no really love lost with Nancy Pelosi and are going to vote how they think are going to be best for their prospects in 2012. I think right now a vote in favor of this plan is a good vote for a Blue Dog Democrat in a swing district.
The president, where does he come out after all is said and done? And let's assume that this actually passes through the House, gets to his
sure.
desk, it's signed. What is the report card for President Obama?
Well, a couple thoughts. You know, when you look back 2 weeks ago, and it seems like 2 weeks was 2 years ago, the president, by forcing or putting on the table the request for or demand for an additional $400 billion in tax increases, when John Boehner had essentially agreed to eliminating tax expenditures in the amount of around $800 billion over 10 years, to come from that point of time to the place where we are now, where we have a deal where there are no tax increases. The president took what was a fairly weak hand to begin with and played it worse. And so, you know, the short term for him is going to be very difficult. I think it's going to depress the base for him. What he's hoping for, what David Axelrod is hoping for, is that this will position him as a moderate as he goes into the election year next year. He doesn't have to worry about a vote in January on raising the debt limit, and he will be able to use his power to request a debt limit increase to make his case against, you know, in favor of more tax hikes on the wealthy, on big oil, and you know, people who fly corporate jets, and they think that's going to work. Personally, I think that he's come across as somebody who really didn't know from the beginning what he wanted, and that's going to hurt him as we get into the election season.
The one thing that struck me, Chris, during this whole thing is when the president, during his statements, implored the American people to get to the phones and this, that, and the other. The first thing that came to my mind, one, is that it was simply gimmickry. But second of all, it almost had the appearance of, you know, American people, I need for you to exert the influence that I don't have on Capitol Hill. Is that an inaccurate observation?
No, I don't think it's inaccurate. I think it's, you know, presidents are really should be wary about using that device. People have used it before. Nixon used it, you know, the silent majority during the Vietnam War, and it sometimes has been used to great effect. But in this particular instance, it did point up to a fact that the president himself did not start from a position of strength. He didn't have the strength, although he commanded the Senate and the presidency. He was not able to work his will with the House Republicans, who refused to be intimidated. And in fact, you know, I think anecdotal information says that the number of calls that were coming in were at least as much in favor of Tea Party Republican ideals as they were for people looking for the quote-unquote balanced approach the president was talking about.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I had heard during the analysis is that the federal government will spend within a matter of days the $1 trillion that was agreed to in this deal. I mean, the substantive nature of this and what it truly means in the long term, and the secondary part of that, assuaging the concerns of debt rating agencies. I mean, really, when we get down to the end of this, Chris, what is the net absolute benefit to all for this deal?
Well, I'll start with the last first, and that is to say that for the first time in American history, we've tied a debt ceiling to real cuts in spending. It's never been done before. It's the first time it's been done. You're absolutely correct that we're trading a debt ceiling increase for cuts in spending that will occur over a period of 10 years. And so instead of getting $1 trillion immediately, you're going to get $100 billion this year, $100 billion next year, and so on down the road. But, you know, the truth of the matter about how D.C. works is that any Congress has the ability to undo what the previous Congress did. So 10-year projections tend to be something that are more of a tool for planning than really hard, fast cuts. I think the value in this particular deal is that it makes the Republican case for smaller government, lower taxes, less spending, and it holds us accountable. And so at the end of the day, the real deadline here is November 2nd, 2012, when President Obama comes up for reelection. At that point, we can have a really solid debate about a new Senate, a new president, and then when we come back in 2013, we can make those genuine, real, binding changes that we need to get our house in order.
We're talking with C-Square, DuffySoapbox.com. I know, Chris, with this great update regarding this particular issue, but how about that invitation for folks to see you?
To see me, well, they can find me at www.DuffySoapbox.com. Come one, come often. I try to reply to all comments that are left, and I encourage strong, vigorous debate. The more you're against me, the more I love it, because I think that the greater the outreach and the greater the voice, the better the debate, the quality of the debate. So come one, come all.
I love all of that. Thank you, John. We appreciate the new format of the CivilBeat.com update. Thank you very much. C-Square on board with us at 6:55 in the morning. So, Chris, before we leave this topic, and I don't know if we ever can, but before we do, can you walk us through some of the financials And I did allude to debt rating agencies or credit rating agencies earlier. Walk us through the financial details, and what do you portend what these agencies are now going to do with some of the details on the table?
I think, well, first, there's going to be an immediate rise or ability to raise the debt limit by about $917 billion. That'll be corresponding cuts to agency budgets. That will be followed by a commission of 12 people, 12 lawmakers, that will have an opportunity to submit its recommendations for broader deficit reduction by November 23rd. If they cannot agree, there is a mechanism in place to force cuts on the discretionary budget, which represents about 39% of federal spending, on a 50-50 basis with defense and non-defense spending. And that should irk some conservative Republicans. At the same time, those cuts would not take place until 2013, people keep in mind, after the next election. In the meantime, the president has the ability to raise the debt ceiling by $1.2 trillion between the end of December and December 2012. And so it does get you through. We're looking at an increased debt of about $2.4 trillion. We're looking at hard cuts of about $1 trillion and potentially as high as $2.2 trillion over the course of 10 years. How that gets parsed out amongst the agencies is yet to be decided. There's going to be some pain because they're focusing all these cuts on really the smallest and most vulnerable part of the federal budget, and the 55% that is going to mandatory spending, such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, are off the table for now. So it's going to be hard, but we'll see as we go forward. You mentioned the debt rating issue, and I couldn't agree more. I think that two of the three rating agencies have backed off their downgrade of AAA for the U.S. I think only S&P is left as one that has threatened to go down to AA. I think with a debt agreement in place, signed off and signed off by the president, I think it's going to be very hard for S&P to go to a AA rating at this point, but we'll see. But because it'll be only one of the three agencies, I think it's a better outcome for the U.S. because there's a division amongst the rating agencies. I had tuned in before and actually heard some of your commentary on this, and I agree that a bunch of people who are unelected to make these recommendations without context that has such wide-ranging implications for our economy and our well-being is really something we need to look into.
We're at 6:57 in the morning with C-Square. So good of you to join us. Now, as we speak, where are we? Is the House still continuing a discussion on the details here? And can we expect an announcement of any kind from either chamber?
I think you're going to be looking at they're going to try to get the deal done today. And they have got to go through some procedural motions. I'm sure John Boehner is furiously counting votes right now. He'll bring this measure to the floor as soon as he knows that he has 217 at the magic number to get it passed. And so all the action is there right now. We have a potential problem in the Senate where Mike Lee of Utah, a Tea Party member, has threatened to filibuster the bill. He can do that. One person can stop the entire process. We can only hope that the urgings of his colleagues in the Senate will allow the bill to come to a vote. And I'm sure it's going to command, once it gets past 60 votes to close off debate, it then will go to a regular simple majority vote, and I think it's going to get a probably much better than 50%, 50 members will vote for it.
I know we have just a few moments remaining. I just want to get your commentary on the influence of the Tea Party and the 2010 election. Tea Partiers have been marginalized, maligned, have been categorized, defined by others, yet without that presence, Chris, we wouldn't be in the position where we are today. Tenuous, yes, but issues that are on the table that have been off the table in a serious manner for years.
Completely agree, and I've written about this, but to go back to 2009 and look where President Obama was there and look where we are today, mm-hmm. to look and see that the debt discussions, that they were actually occurred at all, that the entire discussion is about tax cuts and spending reductions to reduce the debt, that the president and the Democrats are on board with this agenda, that they agreed to do a deal without tax increases. This is solely based on the position of the Tea Party and their influence on the national debate, which everybody now, if you want to be on the talking points page, you have to be on the Tea Party page. Nobody is talking about increased spending right now. No one's going to win talking about increased spending right now.
Log on right now to DuffySoapbox.com. You will leave a smarter human being. C-Square, thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
You take care, Rick.
You too. Bye now.